We welcome Joan Lewis, as with her customary enthusiasm, she brings us an update on an extraordinary event here in the Vatican, the 12th General Assembly of the Synod of Bishops, focusing on the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church. Joan, a synod on the agenda this week here in Rome.
Another huge week, obviously, entering the last week of the synod as we speak. And all you have to do is walk around town, maybe not town, but certainly Vatican. Lots of cardinals and lots of men wearing red, lots of men wearing purple or fuchsia or whatever color you want to call it, with the bishops also present in town. And we saw hundreds and hundreds of them, of course, last week at the film Testimony when the Holy Father was present for that. So, but we are winding down.
Of course, the great event last week was in the Sistine Chapel, wasn't it? Vespers in the Sistine Chapel.
To all accounts, the people that spoke to me about who were present at that said it was one of the most memorable events they had ever attended in the Vatican. And of course, I don't know about you, I've been to several liturgical events in the Sistine Chapel. I can't even go back as a visitor anymore, just as a tourist to see the Sistine Chapel in the first place. When you go for a liturgy, all the lights are on, and it is immensely beautiful. You're in the midst of like a living Bible. The scenes, obviously the ceiling, the creation, then the last judgment, the life of Moses, the life of Jesus. So it's an immensely beautiful setting and puts you in a prayerful mood for recollection, for prayer. And the amazing thing about last week, of course, was the presence of Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew I. He and the Pope just vespers.
In the Papal Chapel.
In the Papal Chapel. And there have been many, many indications in recent days, and there were that night, words by Patriarch Bartholomew of how great the longing is for unity between the churches. He's obviously the ecumenical, the Orthodox Patriarch of Constantinople. But he talked about the Pope's invitation for him simply to come to the Synod, much less Vespers. He called it a gesture full of meaning and significance. And he said, dare we say, an historic event in itself. It's the first time in history an ecumenical patriarch has been offered the opportunity to address a Synod of Bishops in the Roman Catholic Church and to be part of the sister church at such a high level. The other fathers present were just very much riveted by what he said. Several people present told me. It was very evident also in the Holy Father's words and gestures, the depth of appreciation and almost, you might say, emotion at hearing the Patriarch pronounce these words again, as we have said, in the Sistine Chapel, just added an extraordinary dimension. Because I guess we should tell our listeners, the Vespers actually were originally planned to be in the Synod Hall. And then they were moved to the Sistine Chapel. And of course, there's no comparison between sitting in kind of, should we say, a modern auditorium, which is fantastic for meetings. But if you are going to have Vespers, you certainly want that in a church-like setting. And that should not surprise us. That's Benedict. Obviously, any liturgical function he wants in a church-like setting, and who's not to agree with him? Obviously, the beauty of a church, and if you have a liturgy, they should really go hand in hand. As we know, with Pope Benedict, just to digress for a few seconds, he would prefer that every single Mass that he say as Pope for large crowds be inside St. Peter's Basilica, be inside a church. He doesn't like the Masses that would be held outside, but he knows for canonization or one or two other functions that it really does have to take place to allow a greater number of faithful to see him. So that was the highlight of the Synod. We're winding down. We're getting to the point where the message is being prepared. Apparently, it's fairly lengthy now. Very, very beautiful, say those who have read parts of it. A very beautiful message that is being penned by Archbishop Gianfranco Ravasi. He's president of the Pontifical Council for Culture, but he's also head of the Synod's Commission for the Message. And apparently not only a biblical scholar, but a man who knows how to write very, very beautifully. So they're trying to get the message down really to something like absolutely no more than 2 pages, because it's a message that's going to come to you and me and the faithful, but message is going to lose something if it's 40 pages long. People are going to go, oh, I don't want to have to read that. And so they're trying to get it down to like 2 pages. And then we're also working on the propositions. We, the Synod Fathers, are also working on the propositions. So there are 53 of them at the moment, including one, I understand, which does deal with the delicate topic of Islam, of the relations, apparently, of the between the two, between the Catholic Church and Muslims. So, and of course, we're like 10 days away from that important meeting in the Vatican between Muslims and Catholics, the Muslim-Catholic Forum that was established last year by Pope Benedict. So the propositions will come out, 53, as I said, to this point. Again, they're trying to refine that. There were hundreds of propositions that came out when they got rid of duplicates and things like that. They refined it down to 53. And we should tell our listeners, these propositions, when you hear people talk about them on the radio, read about it in the paper, they're referring to proposals, suggestions, propositions that the Synod Fathers, after their weeks and weeks of debate and input and discussion, they present these, this final list, to the Holy Father. He uses that when he is writing his post-synodal apostolic exhortation. There's always a document that comes out of every synod. We shall see. It's always a period of time after the synod before the papal document comes out. Anyway, it sounds like a synod that the people that I talked to said it was so beautifully organized. Most people stuck to their 5 minutes only that they had years and years ago. I think it was like 8 or 10 minutes. Then it got down for the last synod to 6 minutes a person. And this year it was five. But Pope Benedict has introduced a new factor, and that is every night at about 6, there's this free hour of open discussion when Synod Fathers can either add to what they've said earlier, comment on something somebody else said, but it's really free time. And here we have the heart, mind, and soul speaking of the Synod Fathers. So the input has been really good. Oh, one of the funniest things I heard, though, was that if somebody went over their 5 minutes, the microphone was turned off. So you could hear this type thing. And you could hear the voice just diminishing. And the person knew when their time was up, and they had to stop speaking whether they wanted to or not.
It's a good system, isn't it?
Yes, it's a great system. So the 5 minute was imposed in a very technical way, which I think is why most people wanted to obey it and not have their microphone cut off. So,
of course, it's a wonderful opportunity for all the bishops from across the world to meet, isn't it?
Oh, it is. To get to know each other, and for the cardinals, too. The cardinals of the Roman Curia.
Sense of the universal church.
A sense of the universal church. And it's always important when cardinals get together, and because the successor of Peter always comes from the College of Cardinals. And any opportunity a cardinal has during the year to travel, to get to know other cardinals, to come to Rome to deal with them, is very important for them getting to know each other, their personality, their thoughts, their linguistic ability, so many, many things.
And a very big thank you there to Joan Lewis for sharing with us her thoughts once again.